The way you connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not by connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way you connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being menatek from everything else that interferes with the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what do you imagine the more important sugya than this? How you teach the kids this, I don't know. We have to teach ourselves this, I suppose. ההיסטוריה של העם היהודי מלמדת אותנו שכל הירידות הרוחניות שהיו לכלל ישראל קרו בגלל סיבה אחת. You want to know, good morning, what the, if you take the hashgacha of the last 2,000 years, you look at Jewish history from a perspective of Atah B'chatanu, you put on your Atah B'chatanu glasses, spectacles, and you look at world history, Jewish history. There's no world history, there's only Jewish history. Sometimes we don't understand where we fit in. You know, what's the volcano in Japan got to do with me? I don't know what it has to do with me, but I know that it has something to do with me, that's for sure. The pratim of what it has to do, we don't always see. But the fact that it has something to do with me, it has something to do with me. As shekola yiridas haruchnias shiiru lo klal Yisrael, all the ruchnias dika yiridas that happened to klal Yisrael happened for one reason. Pnei v'hiskorvus legoyim. Turning towards and getting close to the goyim. That's what caused it. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. Kesheponenu legoyim, kesheshechnu v'havaleim v'talugayim, when we turn to the goyim and we have a desire for their nourishkeits and their pleasures, kesheshavanu sheyes mekoyres acherim l'taynuk, when we believe and think that there are sources of pleasure, milvana tainugos shel Hashem, al toros v'kiyum mitzvosav, when we think there's pleasures outside of living the life of a Jew, shuv lo nishanu im HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'vad, then you're not with Hashem levad anymore. Zuhi hismoitetus amud hativuch shelo yeh lecha Elohim acherim al panay. We said yesterday, just going over this again. B'shazu itchila ha'chole yerida ruchnis kasher. That's when the yerida in ruchnis starts. Ki akesha ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu ben Am Yisrael is oriv v'negam v'hayichud matzad akalem. From our side to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the yichud has been breached. The first chet we said yesterday was a chet ha'egel, which we learned from the Erev Rav. Those Umas Olim that had come out of Mitzrayim and Mitgayed, but it's still not menatek from their Goyishkat. So that was the beginning of Goyishkat influence Klal Yisrael. Okay. Lumas Zois. What's the flip side? Kashiyudi Chai Bahakora Shekola Torah VaMitzvos Hein Eitzes Amukes Shel Aboira. When a person understands that all the Torah, every piece of Torah, is all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Deep eitzes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'matarosan la'etiv lanu ba'atov nifla nitzvos. And it's all there for one reason. To give me eternal pleasure and eternal good. That's what the Torah is there for. Another reason. U'kaloshan azoa kodosh. I'm reading straight from the translation. Shesh ma'od v'shalosh asoros sugi eitzes notenes ha'toyru. 613 eitzes. Eitzes means advices, but I don't exactly how you translate that, yeah? The Torah gave, Kedei sha'odim yisholam im koine, that a person should be kuf chavzayim, so that a Jew should be sholem with his creator. V'asiba lekachi k'Hashem roitze la'etiv amoy bo'olam hazeh u'bolam haba. Why does Hashem do this? Why did he give us 613 eitzes? In order that we can be sholem with our Creator. For one reason only, says the Zohar. Because Hashem wants to be meitivas bo'olam hazeh u'olam haba. It's very simple and straightforward. Hashem gave us the Torah for our good, and that's the only way that a Jew can acquire any good. Anything else that your Yetzirah persuades you is good and you need it, you have to have it, is what it is. It's the Yetzirah. And it merachiks us from Hashem. And it creates a spiritual yerida. Adam Shamaki Kol Eilu, someone who recognizes and understands this, Misyachim and Akosh Baruch Hu Bilvad. So his relationship is exclusive with Hashem. Who perish af mi'amutelo kedei lidabek b'darchei Hashem. Eventually he gets to a level of what's called Kedoshim Tiyu, Kedoshani. He gets to even separate from those which are mutter from him. You'll get there, we're not there. And then eventually he gets this level of Atem Advekim. He cleaves to the source of all pleasure that there is. That's when the bonds with him and Akash Baruch Hu become one. So it's a process, like everything. It's a process. You've got to work out where you're holding. And you've got to work out where you've got to get to. We've just described an ideal. And you have to decide how you're going to get there. It's not about the performance, though. We've said this many, many times. In the next chapter, we'll discuss, in the next sefer, we'll discuss where the performance kicks in here. At the moment, we're talking purely about the relationship. Purely about the relationship. The performance doesn't interfere yet. First, the person has to know, this is what I'm living for, and this is where all my pleasures are. Doesn't mean I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. Doesn't mean that everything's mushlam and shalom in my life. That's what I'm aiming for. I'm not there yet. But I've chosen to be the color of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I've chosen to be a good son, not a bad son. And I'm slowly, slowly working on getting closer and closer to Hashem. And I recognize when I'm looking for pleasures that are taking me away from Hashem. I recognize it. So, I'm human. I have Yetzara. I have my Mikshalim. I don't get broken from it because I know that I'm at least able to recognize the difference now. I'm not stuck thinking that this pleasure that I have to have. I have to have yogurt, batam, yavoni, because if not, then my life can't start. No, that's Koishkat. This is Yiddishkat. There's no difference. Know the difference. The problem is not that there's a difference. The problem is not that I'm doing it. The problem is that I don't realize that that's Goyish. I think it's Jewish. Take the music for example. The Yetzer attack Klal Yisrael in the most, is attacking Klal Yisrael in the most profound way through music. Jewish music. You know what makes Jewish music? You take lyrics and you make them in Hebrew, that's called Jewish music. As long as the lyrics have a little bit of David HaMelech in there somewhere, you can do what you want. Music's not about lyrics, it's about music. Understand that music parallels the higher spiritual world. There's seven notes on the musical scale. There's seven spheres. The way you permutate the seven notes on the musical scale affects enormous spiritual levels. They used to get nevuah through listening to music. So can you imagine what the opposite looks like? When you're listening to music that was designed by Tzadat Tumah, you put Jewish words on it, that's fine. But it's Tumah, it's Kulu Kulu mit Tzadat Tumah. You know that, do you know how harass that is? But I have to, I can't listen to this. Who can't listen to this new Goyish music that they're selling in the Haredi shops? You have to listen to it. Yeah. Many, many examples of this. B'sifrei Yeshua v'shaftim mit'arim divrei yemei Amenu, Maaz Kibush Eretz Yisrael. Yeshua and Sefer Shoftim speaks about Klal Yisrael coming into Eretz Yisrael, the Kibush of Eretz Yisrael. Am Yisrael Nenach Le'eretz, the Kibush Esayarim Al Pitzivu Hashem. Klal Yisrael comes into Eretz Yisrael, everybody knows, and they start capturing the cities based on the Tzivu of Hashem. Ulam Ha'yirim Shenoytru B'mkoymom V'toshveyim Agoyim. There were certain cities that stayed intact, and the goyim carried to living on in Eretz Yisrael while Klal Yisrael was there. The Dovin life, Am Yisrael lamad mimaseim, v'izdar deded ad kedei avodas kochavim. Klal Yisrael learned, unfortunately, from their behavior, and plummeted down to mamash avodah zarah. Mamash avodah zarah. Hem avdu lepesel leelzar. The relationship of marriage between Klal Yisrael and Kodesh Baruch Hu started to fragment. The Klal Yisrael's relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu became very, very negative, and the Yerida became critical. Lulei ha'yimot soy sagoyim be'eretz Yisrael, Am Yisrael lo yachoyt b'chatoyim kol chamurim o'ilom. Had it not been for the goyim that were living in Eretz Yisrael at the time, the terrible avarious sins that Klal Yisrael did, they would never have done. Gam im ha'yu lo yiridus ruchnias v'chotu ben adam l'mokum v'ben lo l'chabayroi. Even had there been a yirid in ruchnias and sins in ben adam l'chabayroi and ben adam l'mokum, chatoyim ha'sha'yayu m'mayti m'sa'av v'ben lo l'ben Hashem Yisparach. Sins that would have minimized the love between Klal Yisrael and us. Mikomokume yashov v'tshuva shleimah. Could we done the tshuva? We know. We know they have to be perfect. That's why there's a thing called tshuva. The natural teva of a Jew is to cleave and draw, be drawn after Hashem. There's a musak in the world where Eretz Yisrael vomits you out, spits you out. That's not because you did an aveira yan and aveira there and you did tshuva and you got the contract. That's not where the fight is. The Golus was caused by a breakdown in the marriage. The Kala was thrown out of the house. He paused al Kesha Rache. She went and found other relationships. Nichut to Kesha in Doda. Because she was looking for pleasures with everybody else besides Hashem, thrown out. You must know at the beginning of the scholar, when the Maskilim closed the Lojin Yeshiva, they stood and cried. The Maskilim cried when the Lojin was closed. They had no intention of closing the Yeshiva. They understood the importance of learning Torah. They just felt you needed to also learn a little bit of, get a bit worldly, you know. Gedolim felt differently. So they cried. Today, when the first scholars started, they learned Torah. Ish gam lo choshev lo mait bekuma mitzvah. No one thought to do less mitzvahs. Ulam eises ut kufa shor roye besode zorim haim alochu.
What did they do?
They started looking for pleasure elsewhere. They weren't trying to minimize the relation with Hashem. They were adding something onto their day-to-day existence. A little bit of more quality to our lives, but more pleasure, but more worldliness. They searched for a relationship with the external world. Time and time again, the results of this type of behavior come very quickly. That's where the spiritual devastation of Klal Yisrael took place. That's where it started. That's why the scholar is looked upon with such terror and with such this day. That's where it started. The first Reformed Jews that arrived in Yerushalayim in the times of Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, you couldn't tell the difference between them and Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. But what? They felt it was time we started having something to do with the Goyishah world. What happened? Look, been to Tel Aviv lately. That's where it started. It started in Yerushalayim with the frumest of the frum. That's where Tel Aviv started. Hametzias ha'aguma ha'niris bedoreinu. The matzav that we see in our generation. Metzias sheborei v'ruba shel am Yisrael murkav miyudim she'eni yudim ma'u shma Yisrael. Roi v'ruba, 95-90% of Klal Yisrael don't know what shma Yisrael is. V'le yodim yadus ma, they don't know what Yiddishkeit is, they don't know nothing. Nothing. Matzav zeh noitzav mi'apeirus. Haboishim shall kufas a scholar. That's the fruits of a scholar. Manoira dova kolachal mea pizila loila magoy. It all started with just, starting a little bit, yeah, a little bit there, a little bit.
today? Today?
Why the Goyish world is more attractive than the Torah?
I'll tell you what, good question. Rav Elia Lopian brings us down. It's in Lev Eliyahu. We know that the Torah is a tavlin, can I get the Yetzer Hara? Torah tavlin, can I get the Yetzer Hara? I mean, you got a problem with the Yetzer Hara? Torah. What aspects of Torah? But Torah somewhere is the cure for the Yetzer Hara. Says Rav Elia, that's only when the Torah is more enjoyable and pleasurable than what the Yetzer Hara is offering you. The principle there is a pleasure principle. We do everything in order to get more pleasure. Every decision we make, I don't know if you've ever monitored this, every decision we ever make is based on a pleasure principle. Where am I going to get more pleasure? Now, if going and watching a football game is momentarily, temporarily more pleasurable than an hour of watching a Daf Gemara, and I have a choice to whether to learn an hour Gemara or go watch the World Cup or whatever, what am I going to do? I'm going to go to watch the World Cup. Poshut. That's where it starts. What the Goy has to offer is enormously pleasurable.
Because it's easier.
It's escape, it's easy, you just sit back and do nothing. And you just watch something which is enormously attractive. How do I know it's attractive? Because there's billions of dollars expended every year. Watching a guy hitting a ball with a piece of wood is the biggest business in the world today.
Isn't it his car is in the same ratio of even more if you choose to do the daf?
Could be, but I'm not talking about scar. I'm talking about how do I overcome my Yetzer Hara that he's asking. What the goy is offering is very pleasurable, and cuddling up in bed with a mishlei is not so comfortable sometimes. It's not so pleasurable. The pleasure from Torah takes a while to acquire. It's an acquired taste. You know, give a 6-year-old whiskey, they don't like it. Why are people paying $6,000 for a bottle of whiskey when they're 45? It's an acquired taste. And $20,000 for a bottle of whiskey? Yeah, okay, that's dumb Irish card. But I'm saying that's the vote here. That's the vote. The Torah stops being pleasurable. Now, why is it that the Torah is not so pleasurable? So the Pinchas gave the following marshal. He had neighbors in Ofakim, he has Sfadi neighbors, always have Sfadi neighbors. Right? So his wife makes them gefilte fish far enough. Gefilte fish that has Masoiris from Moshe Rabbeinu's wife. We're talking about the gefilte fish, yeah? And it's delicious. But what happens? Yeah? Remember, some Pinchas was a month. She knew how to make a filter fish like a litva. So you come in front and out from shul, and the next door neighbors brought this red green fire stuff, yeah, this harif stuff, and it's sitting on the table. You make a motzi, you dip the chale in the harif, your mouth's burning. So you taste the gefilte fish. What do you taste with the gefilte fish? Nothing. Your mouth's so burning, okay, you can't taste the gefilte fish. The problem is when we come to learn our Torah, we've got so much harif in our mouths, we can't taste the Torah. We can't taste the dvash of the Torah. That's where it starts. That's where the problem starts. We're not tasting our Yiddishkeit, we're not enjoying our Yiddishkeit because it's been filtered through all this muck. Now, how you go about changing and practically getting into that? Like that. You know? I once asked my Rebbe this question, you know, what happens if you're not enjoying your learning? You're just probably learning. The law left, as they say. I'm not enjoying it. It happens. Not every day of learning, not every week. Sometimes you've got kufas a month, you're just not getting it. Back to wanting to learn more and learning more. You said sometimes a person's sick. He's sick, he's crunk. So you can't give him steak to eat. His digestive system can't handle it. So you give him drops. You give him vitamin drops. He said sometimes you need to take drops. The person has to know how to relate to how much, when, where, but you have to recuperate from that illness. The person doesn't have a cheshek for Torah, has a cheshek for the street more than for Torah. He's sick, he's ill, so he has to get better. It's not a derogatory thing, he's just sick. The problem is today it's so easy and it's everywhere and you can't get away from it and it's dressed up like a frum Jew. The movies have a chayrim, the you know, the restaurants and the gashmias and the goyishas, shaifas, and what we want and the way we dress, it's all goyish. And if you try and be a little bit from whatever, then they've got all these derogatory terms. You know, they dosim and they tsunulim and they yachnim and they. These are the words that kids are using about frum Jews. It's a bizarre to walk around looking frum.
Guess what? Where's the car?
In front here, you see it. It's right here in front. It's a bizarre. You have to have a touch of Goyishkeit in your portfolio, otherwise you're embarrassed. That's why we're having such a year, and that's why the reaction. You can't understand why there's so much anti-Semitism in the world. You notice there's a major rise in anti-Semitism in the world? Statistics are horrific. Why? Well, the Goyim hate us. Oh, okay. You have to be more like them. You're not enough like them. You're too different. You're making that same mistake for 2,000 years. This is in every Jewish home today. Not every, there are a few exceptions. Huh? There are exceptions. There are exceptions. That doesn't mean you have to live like Rabban Leib. We're not talking about, there's nothing wrong with painting your house if you want, you know what I'm saying? If I'm just going to stand wasting money on paint when you could use that to feed an Avre. I understand you. Come back. Huh? I'm saying there are houses like that, I know. There's houses like that where you still have a musag of, and you still have kids, you still have kids today that you can talk to out there that understand this. I was a kashenimtso. But when you do find it, you know you found gold, eh? You know you struck diamonds. Eh? You guys heard the story about this Make-A-Wish? It's gone viral. Everyone heard the story? There's a Goyish organization in America just talking about the difference between a Goy and a Jew. Called Make-A-Wish. They go to the hospitals, they find kids with terminal illnesses, and they give them a wish. They've got about $10,000 for each wish. And these kids, they want to see this football player, this baseball superstar, this Hollywood star, whatever, and then they either take them to them if they can go, or they bring them to the hospital and meet them, whatever, and they make the ganzes up out of it. On the list of the kids that they're visiting is a certain Yiddish boy. Yiddish kid in New York, Hasidish boy. I don't know how funded how old he was. What do you know as old?
He wasn't terminally ill.
I heard the story though. I'm telling you the story though. I heard the story.
No. That's how it was.
Came across as a terminally ill story. That was, I heard the share.
No, it was sensationalized, but I heard it from the
guy. I heard it from the guy who heard it from Dershowitz himself.
I heard the same
one. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm telling you now, I don't know. I tell you the story the way I heard it. I'm not Pesach Kron. Pesach Kron goes and checks and whatever, he doesn't tell a story. I tell a story, if I don't care. I blame the guy I heard it from. Someone tells me a story once, I tell it.
It's the point that's important.
I'll go with Olofsky. I'll go with... Say the real story. The other story, I asked Donald himself for the other real story. Until then, I don't know the real story. I'm happy that there's seven different versions of the story already. Oh Hashem, it's a Jewish story. Anyway, I'm getting to tell the way I heard the story, and you can get the Rashi afterwards. So they come to this Hasidish kid, who was either terminally ill or disabled or whatever, to give him a wish. So he says, my wish is, I want you to bring me Donald Trump. I want to see Donald Trump. I tell him, kid, end of Akaze. $10,000 doesn't buy Trump, you know. Maybe when he was going to the Khula, you know, you could get him for 10 grand. Today, you know, he's got Trump. I said, fine. But that's my wish. You promised me a wish. You've got to be, you know, you've got to keep, boy, wish is a wish. I want to see Donald Trump. We'll bring you, you know, Babe Ruth, whatever, you know. So, hello, I want to see Donald Trump. We'll bring you, you know, whatever, I don't know, superstar, hero, whatever. Chassidi Shigit, I want to see Donald Trump. All right, Bakitsa, what happens in the end is he agrees, I can't see Donald Trump. I want to write him a letter and you make sure that he gets the letter. That's my wish. That we can do. I got Sharim in Washington. You watching that? Just fix up afterwards. I'm getting the story going. Give him a piece of paper, he takes it, and I'm running against the clock as well. This guy's got 15 minutes, I've got 3. Takes out the pen and paper, he starts writing. While he's writing the letter, he's crying. He's crying, and the tears are dropping onto the letter. Close up the envelope, off it goes to Washington. A week and a half later, the letter lands on Trump's desk. Fifth night, Hanukkah. His daughter was in the office when he opened the envelope, and she told Alan Dershowitz what happened. The guy that I heard it from said he heard it from Dershowitz. Who's a big lawyer? He meant that about 9 times. He's a big lawyer. So I have something to do with. I'm a little lawyer. So, and I'm Jewish. So Donald Trump opens his letter and he starts reading it and he starts crying. What's in the letter? Dear Mr. President, I know that the only reason you became president is to help the Jewish people.
Because what?
Is to help the Jewish people. That's your mission in life. And not just the Jewish people, one Jew in particular who I've been davening for. Who's sitting in prison. And ovening and davening that should come out of prison. And I'm asking you to fulfill your mission in life and free this guy from prison. That's my wish. I'm disabled or dying or whatever, and I got a wish, and I'm using my wish. I wish that this man should come out of prison. And Trump turns to his daughter and says, who are these people? This kid could have asked for anything. Anything. Could have asked for anything. What does he ask for? Somebody he's never met in his life, he doesn't know God from Adam, to take him out of prison. He said, that's it, this guy's freed. So it's Hanukkah, Rubashkin came out of jail. Now we know it had nothing to do with the letter, it had nothing to do with Trump. Parshas Mikates, this happened on Parshas Mikates, no coincidence, is to remind us, Rubashkin was supposed to be in prison for exactly so long, whatever, oops. And when he came out. Oh, but we see Noila Manigla. How proud you have to be a Jew. Come on. Look at this kid. What a Jewish kid is compared to what they have. And not only that, but look at the koach of one person. One person lying in a hospital bed, critically ill or in a wheelchair, disabled, lo mashaneh, can change the entire world. Why are we settling for mediocrity in our lives?